But today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yeah, I'm the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances and auguries to Srila Prabhupada, auguries to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association to all of us. Now you can take over the call. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 20, text number 37 onwards. We are going to discuss, we are going to read around 14-15 verses, and together we are going to, you know, discuss from them. So I'll read those verses and then we'll discuss. Verse 13. Chali chali goshaita be aila haji pure, sandhya kale vashila eka udyana bitare. Walking and walking, Sanatana Goswami finally arrived at a place called Hajipura. That evening he sat down within a garden. So text number 38. Sei Hajipure rahe Shrikanta Taranama, Goshaira Bhagini Pati Kare Rajakama. In Hajipura there was a gentleman named Shrikanta, who happened to be the husband of Sanatana Goswami's sister. He was engaged there in government service. Text 39. Tina Laksha Mudra Raja Diya Chetara Stane Godamulya Lae Pataya Pachara Stane. Shrikanta had 300,000 gold coins with him, which had been given to him by the emperor for the purchase of horses. Thus, Shrikanta was buying horses and dispatching them to the emperor. Text 40. Tungi upara vashi se goshaira dekila. Ratre eka jana sange goshai pasha aila. When Shrikanta was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatana Goswami. That night, he took a servant and went to see Sanatana Goswami. Text 41. Dui jana mili tata ishta goshti kaila bandana moksha nakata goshai sakali kahila. When they met, they had many conversations. Sanatana Goswami told him in detail about his arrest and release. Text 42. Heno kahe dina dui raha ei stane badraha o chada ei malina vasane. Shrikanta then told Sanatana Goswami, stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. Abandon these dirty garments. Text 43. Goshai kahe ekakshana iha narahiba. Ganga para kari deha ekshane jaliba. Sanatana Goswami replied, I shall not stay here even for a moment. Please help me cross the Ganges. I shall leave immediately. Text 44. Yatna kari ten hoika botha kambla dila ganga para kari dila goshai chalila. With great care, Shrikanta gave him a woolen blanket and helped him cross the Ganges. Thus Sanatana Goswami departed again. Text 45. Tabe Varanasi goshai aila kata dine Suni Anandita Haila Prabhura Agamane. After a few days, Sanatana Goswami arrived at Varanasi. He was very pleased to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival there. Text 46. Chandrasekara Ghare Ashi Dware Te Vashila. Mahaprabhu Jani Chandrasekara Kahila. Sanatana Goswami then went to the house of Chandrasekara and sat down by the door. understanding what was happening, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Chandrasekhara. Text 47. Dwareka Vaishnavahaya Bola Hatan Hare Chandrasekhara Deke Vaishnava Nahika Dware. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is a devotee at your door. Please call him in. Going outside, Chandrasekhara could not see a Vaishnava at his door. Text 48. Dware te Vaishnava nahi Prabhu re kahila keha haya kari Prabhu tahare puchila. When Chandrasekhara informed the Lord that no Vaishnava was at his door, the Lord asked him, is there anyone at all at your door? Text 49. Teno kahe ekadara vesha ache dware tanreyana Prabhu vakhya kahila tanare. Chandrasekhara replied, there is a Muslim mendicant. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately said, please bring him here. Chandrasekhara then spoke to Sanatana Goswami, who was still sitting beside the door. Text 50. Prabhu to maya bolaya aishadara vesha suni anande sanatana karila pravesha. O Muslim mendicant, please come in. The Lord is calling you. Sanatana Goswami was very pleased to hear this order and he entered Chandrasekhara's house. Text 51. Tanare angane deki prabhu dhana aila tanre alingana kari prema vishta haila. Translation. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sanatana Goswami in the courtyard, he immediately went up to him with great haste. After embracing him, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. So we are going to discuss from text number 36 all the way till 51. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin iti namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandam Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are discussing from Madhya Lila chapter 20. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. We have read from verse number 37 till 51. The context that we are in is Sanatana Goswami has already got himself released from the prison of Nawab Husain Shah, and he somehow relieved his servant Ishana. He got rid of the Grahastha who thought of taking away the 8 gold coins that Sanatana Goswami left, had with him after giving away all the other gold coins. And finally, looking at the behavior of Sanatana Goswami, the householder helped Sanatana Goswami cross over the hilly place, and finally, Sanatana Goswami reached the place called Hajipura. And so from that place onwards, we just read these 15-16 verses. So in our discussion today, whilst most of the portion are just describing about the travel of Sanatana Goswami, the last few verses, as well as the entire travel, as well as all these 51 verses put together, we have got some interesting lessons to learn. We have some points to be reflecting upon for our progressive journey in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has time and again revealed by his behavior as well as through his instructions and as well as through his association with his associates, that for us to be Krishna conscious, we need to show in our own behavior the symptoms of Krishna consciousness, devoid of any personal motives. So we are going to have 5 sets of reflections today, or 5 sets of lessons through which we will understand the current context of this Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first and foremost reflection is about recognizing a devotee. When Mahaprabhu asked Chandrasekhara to go out and find out and bring the devotee to home inside the house, Chandrasekhara went out and could not recognize Sanatana Goswami sitting there at the doorsteps. Mahaprabhu said, just bring whoever is there outside. And he said, there is a Muslim mendicant. And Mahaprabhu said, please bring him in. So it is time and again established in various purports of Srimad Bhagavatam and also in different places in Chaitanya Charitamrita how to recognize a devotee. This is a very important big lesson in our journey of Krishna consciousness. We tend to observe things pretty externally with our own set of judgments, with very biased mentality, and because of that we tend to miss a very golden opportunity. In our devotional life, a presence of Vaishnava, especially a self-realized soul, is extremely vital. If we miss an opportunity, the loss is upon us. We have many examples, both in terms of recognizing a Vaishnava and also missing an opportunity to recognize a Vaishnava. And we will see a few examples as well as some directives given by Sripad Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction about how to recognize a Vaishnava. So the first and foremost point is, we cannot consider somebody a Vaishnava or a not Vaishnava by his dress or address. Because generally, these two are a factor upon which we classify a devotee. The way he dress and the place he reside. And interestingly, unfortunately, or coincidentally, these two are never a criteria to decide about a Vaishnava. Later, after Mahaprabhu gave his instruction to Sanatana Goswami, when he visited Vrindavan, when he visited Jagannath Puri, wherever he traveled, Sanatana Goswami could not be recognized by a normal man as a Paramahamsa. He hid himself, or to put it another way, he was so humble enough that he did not want to show off or claim an identity to attract people around him. So if we do not read Srila Prabhupada's purport, if we do not meticulously read Srila Prabhupada's purports and directions, we have a very, very high possibility to misunderstand a Vaishnava. I will give you few examples now. Srila Prabhupada was in Mathura. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mathura, he organized a very big Pandal program. So this time Srila Prabhupada was very, you know, quote unquote proud or quote unquote very happy that he had so many Western disciples with him. So he wanted to show to all the people in Mathura and the so-called Babaji's the success of his preaching program and how Krishna consciousness is an international agenda and not something limited to people who are very narrow-minded. So when Srila Prabhupada gathered this crowd, some people started to criticize that these people are foreigners, Mlechas, and what they know about Siddhanta. They may not even know to pronounce a verse. They may not even know to pronounce some names. They may not even able to practice some Vaishnava principles. So some people commented about it. So in the crowd, Srila Prabhupada pointed out to a Mataji, one of his disciples, and he told her, okay, so now you chant Isopanishad. So this Mataji was really shivering because it was such a big audience and this Mataji knew only 3 or 4 verses in Isopanishad. And Srila and the Mataji did not think that Srila Prabhupada is aware about it. So neither Srila Prabhupada nor his Mataji had a preset arrangement of what I am supposed to tell and what you are supposed to chant. Impromptu, Srila Prabhupada just said, okay, you please chant Isopanishad. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted to demonstrate the devotion that his disciples had. So this Mataji couldn't say no, or she couldn't, she was completely confused. So praying to Krishna, she started chanting Isopanishad. Om Purnamata Purnamitam Purnat Purnamudachyate. So she kept on chanting the first verse. Isa Avasyam Idam Sarvam Yadkin Jagatyam. She shall chant the second verse. She chanted the third verse. And after that she doesn't know. And Srila Prabhupada also did not knew, or maybe externally they were not having any preset arrangement. But as soon as she finished the third verse finished, Srila Prabhupada said, that's all right, finish. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish to the community of assembled members there that please don't judge my devotees just by their external representation. Just because they were born in a Mlecha or a very degraded family does not disqualify them to be a sincere servant. On the contrary, if somebody is born to a very cultured family, does not entitle them a title of Goswami or title of Sadhu just because they were born and not having any practices, does not give them that credit. So this is the first example. The second example that I want to share about this is Gadadhara Pandit and Mukunda. This is a very famous pastime. I think last week or the week before in either of the class, either in Bhagavatam or here, I shared this. It's a very famous pastime where Gadadhara Pandit was told by Mukunda how great a devotee Mukunda had met about Pundarika Vidyanidhi. And I will not go to the details of the episode because we have other points to discuss. Gadadhara Pandit, when he saw Pundarika Vidyanidhi for a moment, he misunderstood Pundarika Vidyanidhi as a sense gratifier because he was a royal kingly dressed. He was sitting on a big throne. There were lots of wonderful opulences and he was being fanned by 2 beautiful women. He was chewing pan. So the heart of heart, he was thinking how sense gratifier, how come Mukunda was glorifying him as a Mahabhagavata? But the moment Mukunda started to chant, Varha Pitam Natavara Vapu Karnayo Karnikalam. So when he chanted the Bhagavatam verse describing about the glories of Krishna, Pundarika Vidyanidhi fainted. And Gadadhar Patit immediately realized his mistake. He saw the transcendental symptoms in the body of Pundarika Vidyanidhi, that as soon as he heard the glories of Krishna, he couldn't control himself. He started to perspire, faint, and different types of emotions manifested in Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So this is a second example to say we should not misunderstand, we should not judge a person by his external arrangement. And an example of how people accepted somebody as a sadhu by external arrangement, but eventually he turned out to be a fake guy. Like for example, when Rupa Goswami was there, there was a Digvijay Pandit. This Digvijay Pandit went all over the place and he debated with various Brahmanas and came to Vrindavan to debate with the sadhus there. And sadhus decided that instead of having a debate with him, let them direct him to Rupa Goswami. And if Shripad Rupa Goswami is able to win or lose, whereas everybody were ready to accept that. And whilst the whole world accepted him as Digvijay Pandit, even Rupa Goswami did not want to argue with him. Finally, Jiva Goswami had asked him some set of questions and immediately he won over the Digvijay Pandit. So everybody else accepted him as a great Pandit, but actually speaking, by his Panditya, he was not having any position. His position were very external and does not have anything to do with his consciousness or attitude or transformations within, which Jiva Goswami very soon revealed. And like that, during Srila Prabhupada's time, there were so many such people Srila Prabhupada revealed. In our journey to Krishna consciousness, this is extremely important agenda to be contemplating on, of how to recognize a Vaishnava. So Srila Prabhupada repeatedly said, we should recognize a Vaishnava not by his appearance. So I will just read from Nectar of Instruction, verse number 6. Rupa Goswami very nicely explained. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfection may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee. But despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes, during the rainy season, are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. This is Nectar of Instruction, verse 6. So, to consolidate this particular point, first point, we need to learn to recognize a Vaishnava by hearing from him and how much he is surrendered to his spiritual master. So we should learn to see a Vaishnava through our ears, not through our eyes. If we had not studied Srimad Bhagavatam, we would definitely reject Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami as beggars. But just because Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the internalization, it is very nicely explained that how to see a Vaishnava by his internal consciousness and not by his external appearance. Tyaktva turnam asesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuchavat. So what does Srinivasacharya singing in Sad Goswami Ashtakam? Tyaktva turnam asesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuchavat. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances to six Goswamis who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloth, treating themselves as mendicants. They are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So please never ever, ever, ever judge a devotee by his external appearance. It will be a biggest problem. If we just extrapolate our current consciousness and hypothetically assume and transform ourselves by 100 years before or 80 years before, suppose if we have been blessed with an opportunity to be a neighbor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and one side Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, another side we have Srila Prabhupada's house, and we have not read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, or we did not come in contact with devotees, what is the probability that we would have understood Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a great saint, great Vaishnava? What is the probability that we will follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada? It is extremely impossible to recognize a Vaishnava by our external judgment. Only by associating with them, only by hearing from them, and only by their association with their parampara and how much they are connected with that, we will be able to appreciate, and that's the way by which we can associate with them. Let us not look at by external arrangement. Unfortunately, our material science, unfortunately our material education, unfortunately our material association encourages us to more on the external looks than on the internalization. Even to our own selves, we are all interested in looking beautiful than being one. So the looks are given more importance than being. But as we move progressively in the Krishna consciousness, here very nicely see Goswamis, they have rejected their looks. They have voluntarily accepted loincloths. In that purports, in the slokas that we read today, Srikanta offered Sanatana Goswami. Srikanta is Sanatana Goswami's sister's husband. He is having 300,000 gold coins. And he offered Sanatana Goswami, please give up this loincloth and I will give you a dress like gentleman. You please be, you know, dressing like a gentleman. Because Sanatana Goswami was not some ordinary guy. Sanatana Goswami was governor. He was a very, very big person in Nawab Hussain Shah's ministry. If somebody has been managing so many affairs, to give that up, voluntarily giving that up, was meant for a purpose. So our first reflection in this 16 verses that we read today is, or 15 verses that we read today is, number one, is to make sure that we don't judge a Vaishnava by his dress or address. Rather, we judge or we associate with the Vaishnava more by hearing him, number one. Number two, by associating with him to see how much we are able to progress in our Krishna consciousness. And number three, to accept and understand that this Vaishnava is coming in a parampara and he is very much surrendered to his spiritual master and does not claim any credit to himself. That is good enough for us to associate with him. and we need not worry about any external arrangement. Here it is very nicely Rupa Goswami classified. He may be low-born, he may be deformed, he may be ugly, he may be informed, he may be whatever that may be the case, still he is eligible for progressing Krishna consciousness. Vasudeva leper, I mean he's a devotee Vasudeva, he was having suffering with leprosy. Everybody used to reject him and nobody used to go closer to him. But Mahaprabhu recognized him, hugged him. Nashta kushtam, rupa pushtam, bhakti tushtam, chakraya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining in Chaitanya Charitamrita about this particular episode. Nashta kushtam. This Vasudeva's body was suffering with kushtam, with leprosy. But his heart was full of devotion. Because his heart was full of devotion, but his body was suffering with leprosy. And how the leprosy was? Each and every pores of his leprosy, wherever the wounds were there, pus was oozing out. And each and every pus, there were worms eating them. And he was stinking bad. So nobody would dare go close to him. So Nashta Kushtam, when Mahaprabhu went to South India, on the way, after he met Ramananda Rai, he went and met this Brahmanas there. And after meeting the Brahmana, he went to meet Vasudeva. Even though nobody wanted Mahaprabhu to go there, Mahaprabhu personally went there and gave a tight hug. So Nashta Kushtam transformed to Rupa Pushtam. Rupa Pushtam means his bodily appearance became very beautiful. And when Mahaprabhu gave a hug, what had happened? Bhakti Tushtam Chakraya. Similar situation is here. Sanatana Goswami was rejected. Maybe nobody could recognize. Chandrasekhara said that there was no Vaishnava there. Then he saw a Muslim mendicant. But as soon as Sanatana Goswami entered, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very nicely, saying, Mahaprabhu, he went and hugged Sanatana Goswami in haste, with great haste. With great haste means in a hurry, in urgency. As if he has been longing to see him for a while. And in the next verse you will see, as soon as that divine hug was received, Sanatana Goswami became transcendentally, ecstatically started jumping and he developed very nice ecstatic mood. So that's our first reflection. Second reflection is behave in a way to be recognized by the Lord. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly says, to see the Lord is very, very difficult. In fact, to see the Lord comes after when we become to be seen by the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes, the success of our Krishna consciousness is such that we behave in a way that your spiritual master wish to engage you in his service and the Lord wish to see you. That is the success of our devotional life. We have plenty of examples. And Srila Prabhupada is the best example. Srila Prabhupada recognized, Srila Prabhupada was recognized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. This is very interesting, very nice parallel. Like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized Sanatana Goswami, it is the same way Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj recognized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. It is the same way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj recognized Srila Prabhupada. And it is the same way Srila Prabhupada recognized many of his star disciples. When Sanatana Goswami was sitting there, and if I go a little further, that is the same way Mahaprabhu was recognized by Ishwarapuri. That is the same way Ishwarapuri was recognized by Madhavendrapuri. Wow, what a wonderful parallel. Madhavendrapuri gave his... Madhavendrapuri had got two servants, Ishwarapuri and Ramachandrapuri. Madhavendrapuri was so weak, fragile, that Ishwarapuri literally did all the services. He did services of even, you know, cleaning him, giving him bathing, you know, washing his, all the daily activities, everything he was doing, Ishwarapuri. And finally, what he got? He got blessings of the spiritual master to an extent that Mahaprabhu became the disciple of Ishwarapuri. So Madhavendrapuri recognized Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And similarly, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj recognized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And same way, in a way, it was in a big pandal. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was called by Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada was recognized by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So it is very important how we behave, how do we conduct ourselves, how do we organize our life, how do we make our priorities correct, how do we orient our thinking in such a way that we will be recognized by spiritual master, and that is the success of our Krishna consciousness. One devotee very nicely explained. When you go to the temple, it is not so important where do you stand in the temple. Sometimes we are so much in a hurry, rushing forward to go into the front queue, to stand in front row to see the Lord front. But that much urgency, if we show in our own devotional life, that much enthusiasm, if we show in our own devotional life, that much eagerness, if we show our own devotional life, even if you are sitting in the last queue, in the, you know, ekdam piche, even if the behind all the people, still the Lord's glance will be on you. Srila Prabhupada was in Cross Maidan in Mumbai, and there were around 10,000 people. Radhanath Maharaj shared this in Jihu festival, and I think he has written this in his book on, you know, Journey Home. Out of the 10,000 people sitting there, Srila Prabhupada pointed to, you know, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. You please come. Can you imagine? So, it is extremely important that we know that our Krishna consciousness recognition is not based on how much we dance in front of the spiritual master, how much we are visible in front of the spiritual master, how much we are pushing ourselves in front of the spiritual master. It is pretty much visible on how much we conduct ourselves in our life. What you do in private, what you do when you are alone, what is going on in your consciousness determines how much you are qualified to receive the Lord's mercy, not is about what you are doing externally. Krishna rejects them. So our second reflection is that you need to behave in a way to be recognized by the Lord. And in this case, Sanatana Goswami, even though he was Nawab Hussain Shah's primary, one of the important person, the moment he decided, the moment he got the message from Rupa Goswami, the moment he got inspired, the moment he decided to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was steadfastly clear and made sure that he need to organize his life in such a way that he become the recipient of Lord's mercy. So that is why, you know, he became one of the primary Goswamis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. So they are, you know, Srinivas Acharya is very nice thing. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Kridav Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijitav Chatkinja Dino Chayav. So it is very nicely explained that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So it is extremely important that we need to organize and conduct ourselves to be seen. So to see the Lord is second. To be seen by the Lord is first. So hence, we go to the temple, we meet the spiritual master, not to show us. It is to be seen by them. They are so expert, they are so knowledgeable, they are so transcendental. Just by looking at us, they will be able to recognize us. There is a very nice pastime in this regard from Srila Prabhupada's Leela. So there was a initiation ceremony. There was a disciple by name Jagat Chakshur Das. He is Prabhupada's disciple, now he has become a sannyasi. So this Jagat Chakshur Prabhu, he had a habit of, or he had a desire to eat sweets. So every day he used to be tempted to eat the sweets that are made for Krishna's offering. So sometimes he is so tempted to eat sweets, I personally heard from him in one of the Prabhupada Katha. So he is so tempted to eat the sweets that one day when the sweets were prepared to be offered to Krishna, before even the offering was made, he ate them. And that was on the day of his initiation. So there were 16 people who were taking initiation on the day. Srila Prabhupada called one after the other, made them chant their initiation vows, gave their name, gave them mala, they offered obeisances and went. So when Jagat Chakshur Prabhu's time came, so he offered his obeisances. Prabhupada said, "Your name is Jagat Chakshur Das." And then he stopped. Then he said, "You know what is the meaning of this name? The person, the Lord of the universal eyes, he always watches over your action, so be careful about it." So when Jagat Chakshur Prabhu shared it, he said that the Asir Srila Prabhupada was really pointing out that beware, my dear son, that your action of stealing the sweet is very well known to me and Krishna, so beware about it. So he said from that day onwards, he stopped stealing, Mahaprasadam, especially before offering. So many, many disciples have expressed their realization how Srila Prabhupada could see through our heart and exactly point out where do we stand and correct us. So we need to behave in a way to be recognized by a Vaishnava. This is our second reflection. The third reflection is that to make that point happen, make the second point happen, to be recognized, there is something that is extremely important to be done, which Sanatana Goswami has time and again demonstrated, and it is very nicely coming across in these 16 verses. Mahaprabhu gave his love to Sanatana Goswami, recognized his humility, because Sanatana Goswami rejected gold coins, rejected position, rejected comfort, rejected all the necessary things that otherwise in the materialistic life we will be, embracing. And he voluntarily accepted pain, and he voluntarily made sure that he didn't waste one single moment towards his mission and walk towards Mahaprabhu. So if you see the last 16 verses that we just read today, Sanatana Goswami rejected money. Sanatana Goswami rejected comfort. Sanatana Goswami rejected wasting any further time. And Sanatana Goswami was very focused and jubilant and made sure that he will not relax till he meet his destination, which is to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, if we need to be recognized, we also need to be making sure that we take care of these things. How much we handle the materialistic possessions that come in our life, and how do we deal with them? How we are dealing with the position that we are offered with? How we deal with the resources that we are provided with? How we deal with the discomforts that are coming in our way, and how we deal with the challenges that are coming in our life decides whether we will be recognized by Krishna or we will take more time. In general, we are so much so in our bodily consciousness that we pray to Krishna for him to help us to come out of that problem. But if you see all the self-realized devotees, they are praying to Krishna so that he removes all the comfort in his life, he removes all the facilities in his life, he removes all the necessary arrangements which will make him entangled, and seek only Krishna's association. So Sanatana Goswami's touchstone story is very famous, where Sanatana Goswami threw away the touchstone, the dustbin, because he thought and he knew that one and only, if you throw them to the dustbin, we will be able to embrace Krishna. These two things don't coexist. So in our heart of heart, somewhere we have a desire. Somewhere we have some aspiration that we need to somehow or other embrace, somehow or other adopt a lifestyle where we need to balance little bit of enjoyment, little bit of position, little bit of name, little bit of fame, little bit of money, and also Krishna consciousness. That's why I used to always say, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were in I, me, mine mode. I, me, mine only. Just because we are regularly associating with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we just got to somewhat progress and come to a stage called I, me, mine, and Krishna also. But this is not yet a complete stage. Let us not get complacent here. Let us not get comfortable here. Let us not get convinced here. We have a long way to go to slowly give up our identification to ourselves and making sure that we are just servant of servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of gopis. Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa 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 Anudas. So it is extremely important. Till that point in time, we will not settle down. So for that, we will know to handle our resources, money, position, followers, as well as challenges. So yesterday in our Bhagavatam class, I was just trying to discuss about this point of how to prepare to be coming out of our comfort zone. Coming out of our comfort zone, voluntarily accepting the austerity is a necessary agenda in our journey of Krishna consciousness. Hence, let's start talking renunciation. Renunciation is not a subject matter after 50. Renunciation is a subject matter from 5 years onwards. Just that at 5 years it is dealt differently, at 25 years it is dealt differently, at 35, at 40, at 50, different stages renunciation is dealt differently. But please understand, we all need to learn to give up to go closer to Krishna. We cannot go closer otherwise just by holding this with us. When Ishana was holding one gold coin, Sanatana Goswami decided that if this guy is traveling with me, my mission will get further delayed. So he said, take this one gold coin, go and stay with your family and be happy. So he made sure that he is ready to give up, accept some external discomfort to go and come closer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our third reflection is, for us to become recognized by Vaishnavas and Krishna, we need to learn to be rejecting material comforts, position, resources, and start to accept austerities and come out of comfort zone so that our Krishna consciousness is progressing. So I guess I have to, you know, close here because I want to talk on two more points, but that will take a little longer to, you know, articulate. So probably in the next session we will, you know, see if I can, you know, share those points. So these three reflections at least are good enough to explain these particular 16 verses and some reflections out of this. So the number one is, we need to learn to recognize a devotee not by his dress and address, and we need to make sure that we hear attentively from him, we associate with him and engage in service to him, And we also learn from him how he has surrendered to his spiritual master and the parampara, and that is the best way to recognize a devotee, not by his external appearance. And number two, that we need to behave in such a way to be recognized by the Lord rather than to recognize the Lord or the devotees. So our goal is not to go and show off. Our goal is to behave in such a way that Krishna and Vaishnavas will be happy to see us. And last but not least, to make that happen of getting recognized, we need to start rejecting all our materialistic possessions and start to learn how to handle them in the service of the Lord, our possessions, our resources, and our facilities and our comfort, and start to voluntarily accept austerities and challenges to make sure that we go closer to Krishna. I end here. Hare Krishna, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charita Amrita Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. I have a question. Sometimes we see that we meet some devotees, we associate with them, and we know that they are good devotees, they are serving their spiritual master nicely, they are doing their sadhana, everything very nicely. But like we know, everyone has some faults. And some other devotees are saying something, maybe that may be right about them, that they may have some faults, but because they are serving nicely, but those faults are also like not faults, but like something they have done something wrong. So how to avoid those situations, like they criticize them and we have to hear them because of that situation. So how to avoid, like we also start feeling something wrong or thinking something wrong in our heart. So how to avoid that?
I'll tell you 3 points to your question. Point number one is that with respect to this particular point Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, in one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada said, if for us to go back home, back to Godhead, we need to be 100% perfect. Then he finished the class. Then he got up from his Vyasa son. When he was about to get up, he said, even if you are 90% perfect, you can make it. Then he offered his obeisances to the deities, and he was about to get up. Then he turned around the devotees and said, even if you are 80% perfect, you can make it. Then he was walking further towards his car, and then before he enters the car, he said that even if you are 70% perfect in your Krishna consciousness, you can make it to Krishna. Then he sat in his car, and about the car was about to leave, he said, even if you are 60% Krishna conscious, you can go back home, back to Godhead. I don't know the full story after that, but the point is that many a times we expect perfection in other devotees, and we always say that our imperfection can always be adjusted. So the first point to your question is that in our association with devotees, we need to know that we need to look at imperfection in us and perfection in them. I think I taught a formula 2 weeks before that we need to be pessimistic to ourselves and optimistic on others. In general, this is a thumb rule across whoever, whichever devotee we talk about, there are a lot of problems everybody has. And Krishna is not looking at perfection in us. Krishna is looking at purity in us. And he's like a mother. You know, your daughter or son may have many, many things that are not correct, but you will not try to blow things them out of the proportion. You may say that has to be improved, but you will be going on patting on his back and looking positive towards the child, or loving towards the child, looking at his positive. So Krishna is not here to chop us off because of our mistakes. Krishna knows about our mistakes. Krishna is only making sure that we move forward. Definitely, yes, One mistake we should never commit, which is Vaishnava Aparad. Rest all the other mistakes are forgiven or will definitely be purified through the process of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we have to only search for perfect, 100% clean, pure devotees, then we don't even have eyes to even recognize such a devotee. So that's my first point. Second point is, in a Vaishnava association or in any community, there are something that you need to learn to ignore. There are something that you need to learn to correct in yourself. And there are something that you need to learn to teach others. And there are something that you need to learn to clarify somebody. Ignoring, correcting ourselves, clarifying to others, correcting others. These four things are important to be followed in any Vaishnava relationship. Forget about Vaishnava relationship, even in any relationship, even especially in a husband-wife family relationship also. But what to be ignored should not be clarified. What to be clarified should not be ignored. What should be corrected should not be convinced on yourself. And what should be convinced on others should not be clarified. So if we try to mismatch, and there's a separate class we can have on this, because this is one of my recommendations to all the Grahastha. In my Grahastha counseling, always I mention this point. In any Vaishnava relationship, please understand, ignore, learn, correct, clarify. If you know this properly applying, because your mother-in-law will do 20 things on a daughter-in-law, and if you go on processing each of them, then you cannot coexist. There are certain things you should ignore. Okay, it's like that. Similarly, in a Vaishnava relationship, if we try to blow things out of proportion, you know this Mataji? You see that Mataji is not properly wearing dress today. Or see this Prabhuji doing. I mean, you can go on picking up things. But how Krishna sees devotees, we need to learn to see them. How another Vaishnava see a devotee? If Srila Prabhupada has picked up only mistakes, so much of wonderful Vaishnava community wouldn't have formed. Srila Prabhupada showed his love, stayed with them, helped them, and at times when needed, he corrected them. So that's my second point. The third and most important point is, in general, we don't need to comment about others' disqualification or others' mistakes. Hence, our recommendation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, for a heart-to-heart relationship, or for a relationship where you want to confess yourself or surrender yourself, you make sure that you choose a person with whom you can respect, surrender, and not see a fault. And for all the other relationships, you maintain a very humble stand, not to judge them. So where is the problem comes? When we are seeing faults, we won't be able to learn from them because already we are seeing faults. So hence it is mentioned that heart-to-heart relationship need not be there with everybody. It can be with only some specific set of people with whom we can confess and respect and serve. And rest for everybody, let's learn to respect and not to, blow things out of proportion on their mistakes, because their mistakes are not so important to you than your own mistakes. We have 1,000 mistakes within ourselves. Let's focus on that and move forward. If everybody in a Vaishnava community does this, there is a very healthy Vaishnava relationship. Yes, if you are in a service of doing a temple president or an authority or somebody, you have some higher responsibility to go and correct somebody, and that needs to be done with proper vigilance and proper maturity, not amateurishly. Otherwise, we don't have any adhikar to go and correct anyone. Did I answer your question?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay,
but the second point is very much to be analyzed by ourselves, and it's very difficult, Prabhuji, like how to think like where to ignore and where to correct, where to like. Sometimes it becomes very difficult to analyze.
We can have one special class exclusively on this 4 points, but I'll quickly say this: you ignore everybody's faults that are generic in nature. For example, those faults are all behavioral ones, which is not affecting you. At the same time, it is not so serious about it. You learn to ignore. There are certain things that need to be clarified if they are misunderstanding or if they are not having right information. And third, you need to correct yourself if their points are valid just because of your conditioning, you are not able to correct yourself. They may be correct, and you know that you are correct, but you do not want them to correct you because of your ego. So this is very important that take this as an opportunity to correct yourself, because of your inability, you are not able to do that. That, you know, does not make them bad. And last but not least, you should go out and preach when certain activities are happening which is detrimental to, or which is important to be established for the preaching movement. For example, if you are in Mayapur Dham, if somebody is smoking bidi inside Chaitanya Chandravadya Mandir's campus, then you can go out and tell them, hey, you can't smoke here, get out. Further, you don't need to be a temple president or an authority, because he is doing something abominable right on the campus, so just go and correct. But if somebody is talking while chanting, you may not be able to go and do that to that person. So you may have to, you know, ignore and move forward. Or maybe pray for the devotee and move forward. So that's all as a simple explanation. But as I said, this is by itself as a science. We can, you know, analyze and talk about it for one and a half hours to understand. Because it's very important in a Vaishnava relationship.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It helps a lot.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dana Pranam, so glorious Krishna Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very, very instructive class. The class is always very instructive, Prabhu. The point I like the most, first of all, if we want to see Krishna, Krishna should see some of our behavior. That is very, some of the things, how we are practicing devotional service, how it can develop, means all is sacred. It was, a lot of things is there, but can you tell something about?
I'm sorry, Mataji, I'm not able to follow your last few sentences. Can you repeat them?
Krishna can see to us, so when we develop that quality, what is the most important quality?
The most important quality for Krishna to turn towards you. Okay, I'll give an example. Suppose, for example, I come to your house and I want to befriend you, or I want to make friendship with you or your family. And the easiest way that I can make a friendship with you and your family is when I come to your house and I praise your child. I give gift to your child. I play with your child. I appreciate your child. You will immediately become close to me. Because you so much love your child. If I come and tell Mataji, your daughter, no, very nicely she is singing. You know, she is telling very nice sloka, Mataji. What a humble child you have. So I tell few good things about your child. Naturally, because we have a common agenda, we become friends. You see, in any relationship, when you meet people from your same hometown, when you meet people from the same language, when you meet people from the same community, since you have a common agenda, you become friends. Similarly, Krishna's common agenda is to be loving and thinking about his devotees. And when you also do the same thing, Krishna becomes very close to you. So the closest and most important thing is, if you appreciate, glorify and serve devotees nicely in a proper consciousness and not offending them, Krishna will start looking, turning his head towards you. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhu, thank you so much. Your class is so nice. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for coming in.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Oh, does somebody else have something?
Yeah, if I have a question, but if somebody wants to go ahead.
No, you go first. Go ahead.
Okay. I really liked Prabhuji, your analytical class that we all face in our daily life. When Mataji asked about how to deal with other, obstacles or whatever, negativity or whatever, how to correct them or not correct them, and where to correct. So one class I just want to make share something that I heard on Guru Maharaj's class, that he said that when your chanting is not attentive and you don't have a solid chanting, then that's where all this negativity and all these other things come, avidya comes. So when you are not chanting properly, so your sadhana has to be strong and chanting has to be very pure, attentive. That's what I wanted to share. And I'm always in same boat when Mataji said I was. Same question I always have it all the time. So thank you for sharing everything so much. Appreciated. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your appreciation. And it's very nice of you to, you know, help us recollect how important it is for us to do an attentive chanting. In Harinam Chintamani, Namacharya Haridas Thakur is explaining a very important point about this inattentive chanting. If the chanting is not attentive, then it is like we are, you know, in Hindi there's a slang called kutke pair mein kuladi. It's like, you know, you are beating your own legs and, you know, digging your own graveyard. So it's extremely important. Inattentive in chanting is something very grave. So we need to be very careful. Thank you so much for helping us reminding.
Thank you, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for everything. Nice class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, my question is concerning your reflection that we should not judge a devotee by necessarily their actions or external, you know, circumstances. You know, and so when you were speaking about that, the thing that kept coming to my mind was that sometimes people are hypocritical, you know? Sometimes they say they can talk philosophy so well, you know? And they might even have prestige in the society for their eloquent speaking of philosophy. And they may appear, because of their eloquence, to have so much realization, you know. But, you know, their external thing might not be so much in line. So I'm just thinking that sometimes maybe going so... By what Vaishnavas say, you know, maybe paying too much attention to that might also be problematic. But I don't know, that's what I was thinking when you were speaking.
Okay. Okay, you're right. So I have a general response to this, where we have no need to go and analyze devotees by design. We invariably associate with every devotee and give them respect. For that, we don't need to evaluate whether the devotee is a great devotee, not devotee, hypocritical devotee, diplomatic devotee, duplicate devotee. If somebody is a devotee, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we saw in chapter 17 of Madhya Leela when we discussed, that if somebody chants Hare Krishna once, he's a Vaishnava. So we have all need and respect. We have all need to respect Vaishnava. So there is no debate in this. The problem comes in only for us to associate with them and take instructions from him. And for that, Nectar of Devotion officially allows you to test your relationship. So Nectar of Devotion does not ask you to blindly follow and surrender anybody. Yes, you are right. Somebody can be very eloquent, somebody can be very shastrically strong, somebody can be, you know, whatever you described in terms of a very superlatively nice devotee, but at the end of the day, he might be hypocritical. But if, as a practitioner, if the sincerity is within us, we will never be cheated. In our movement, we have seen in the history that so many people had come and gone, so many people had their own journey of ups and downs, so many people had their own challenges of coming and going from Krishna consciousness. But please understand, they have their own path, they will have their own purification. If anybody come in contact with, you know, Krishna, even hypocritically also, they will be purified. But yes, they are not a good candidate for you to confess and associate and, you know, give you a trust on. But the point is,
wait, so much noise.
Yeah, maybe somebody who's not speaking can put the on mute. So, but anyway, the point I'm saying is, if I will divide the, this point into two parts. One is, invariably we are supposed to respect everybody, so we don't have any problem. I used to, you know, say a point a few weeks before that. We are always allowed to respect, but we need not obey every instructions of everybody, because obedience is subject to how much trust and, you know, faith we have in somebody's words. Prahlad Maharaj never once disrespected his father, but never once obeyed his father also. So in our association with devotees, no reason will be a reason for you to disrespect. Number two.
Can you repeat this from the time you brought up Prahlad? You said he never
Prahlad Maharaj never disrespected his father even once. So much of the time Hiranyakashipu gave trouble to his son. Never once Prahlad Maharaj disrespected his father. But interestingly, never once Prahlad Maharaj obeyed his father.
Mm-hmm.
He never once followed Hiranyakashipu's instruction. Just because Hiranyakashipu was giving some stupid instruction, Prahlad did not, you know, behave in a rude or inappropriate manner. So I am saying, as a principle in our conduct, in our relationship with everybody, we don't have any rights just because he's hypocrite, just because he's duplicate, just because he's diplomat, just because he's whatever. We don't have any rights to disrespect, because respect is an integral quotient of our character. Respect has nothing to do with others. Respect is with us, and how do we see everybody, everything in connection with Krishna. Having said this, it is not entitling us to surrender and confess to anybody and everybody. For that, my second point is, Nectar of Devotion very nicely, very categorically explains that for us to choose a spiritual master, we can associate with them, evaluate the relationship, test the relationship, slowly, incrementally put our faith in. And if we do that, and if we make progress, even after that, at some point in time, just because of the nature of this material world, that person with whom we had put in faith turned out to be, or happened to fall down from his position, there is no loss for us. Even though we may have right intention of the other person, in the beginning he must have been correct, he must not have been hypocrite, but due to some association, due to some aparad, due to some whatever, because we are all soldiers in the war field, a brave, healthy, wealthy soldier could also bleed and die. So Srila Prabhupada said that all of us begin Krishna consciousness with the right intention, but at some point in time, whilst we are fighting with Maya, we may take wrong side or we may take wrong decision, but Krishna protects that person. But Krishna will take care of that person. You need not associate with them for whatever obvious reasons are, but the devotee's life will still be safe, because Krishna will give credit to what he has done till that point in time. So the second aspect of your situation is that for us to put our faith in, let us incrementally, systematically put our faith, not arbitrarily and blind faith. And even up putting all the faith after surrender, if you happen to get some disappointments, the loss is not yours, because you put the faith on the process, not on the person. The success is given by the process, not by the person. So that person can be replaced by another person. And process will definitely not give you any disappointments. This is truth, absolute truth. Make sense?
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhu. Spoken very nicely.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat. Thank you so much for the very beautiful class. I really like your point about Krishna's sees us, you know, desires to see us, we really don't see Krishna. Very, very nice. And also the question answer, talking about respect, you were telling it is about us. It is actually not about the other person, how we give respect. Thank you. Thank you. As usual, very, very beautiful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Madhuri. Okay, so we end here, and we all looking forward to see you all next week. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you. Namo Namaha. Anantakoti.